This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. It's been almost a year since a third of Newtok residents moved away from their eroding village. Just 9 miles away in Muktavik, they've gained more than just stable ground. Many say they're healthier and living a more traditional Yupik lifestyle. The Newtok Village Council invited KYUK to see the change. Before traveling, KYUK reporters consulted with medical professionals and received negative COVID-19 test results. While in the village, reporters wore masks when invited into people's homes. KYUK's Greg Kim has the story.
A slight breeze blows in Muktavik most days, carrying fresh air from the Bering Sea. Catherine Charles, who moved here last October, says her kids are breathing easier.
When we were in Newtok, seems like their lungs were always chunky, or we could hear there's something in their lungs. But ever since we moved here, they hardly get sick.
Catherine says that's because the air is better in Muktavik, better outdoors and better indoors.
My house in Newtok, we really had bad molding problem.
Mold is common in Newtok homes. As a permafrost thaws, the entire village sinks, with flooding an expected event in both spring and fall. Tribal Administrator Andrew John says the air quality in Newtok is bad outdoors, too, because people dump their honey buckets right next to town.
That stench from that raw sewage that people have nowhere else to dump but the river. And when the sun starts baking and all those fumes get in the air, everybody smells it.
In Muktavik, low flush toilets keep the smell of sewage out of the air. Instead, you breathe in the piney scent of Labrador tea, which flows from the hillside into every yard. Albertina Charles says this is a plant with medicinal properties.
That's why we barely get sick because of the Labrador tea.
She says the tundra is not just good for your lungs, it's good for your soul. In Newtok, if you step off the boardwalk, the mud sucks you in. But at Albertina's new home, whenever she feels sad, she steps onto the solid tundra and her sadness fades away.
No more hurt. Tundra have healings.
People's diets have changed in Muktavik too, according to Lisa Charles.
Started eating a lot more subsistence food since we don't have access to a store.
There is a store in Muktavik, but with no commercial airport, it's been sparsely stocked. So without groceries, Lisa says, people in Muktavik are eating more seal, moose, halibut, and salmon. As Lisa cuts sourdough, she observes that some of her friends have lost weight. And she's noticed other benefits, too.
I think we've had more energy and improved our mood and that kind of stuff.
There's also better access to subsistence activities in Muktavik. Due to the eroded banks in Newtok, people have a short window during high tide to get on the river. During the rest of the tide, they're surrounded in mud. Tribal Administrator Andrew John says this year, some families are suffering as a result.
There's a lot of families that haven't had the opportunity to fill their fish racks completely in preparation for the oncoming winter.
In Muktavik, people can get on the river any time of day. Outside his new home, Teddy Tom is building his dream makhi, or steam house. In Muktavik, he can be on the river whenever he wants, and he isn't trapped in the village by unnavigable mud, so he can explore.
At the new site, we are living more in a new lifestyle. What I used to do when I was young, it's like I'm showing it, teaching it to my sons.
Teddy is one of the Newtok Village Council members. He says they're all trying their best to get the entire village moved over so they can all begin their new lives in Muktavik together. Reporting for KYUK in Muktavik, I'm Greg Kim.
Turning to education, concern about the coronavirus is delaying the start of school for a couple of weeks. Lower Kuskokwim School District Superintendent Kimberly Hankins says the district is requiring all teachers flying into the region to be tested for COVID-19 at the airport and self-quarantine for 2 weeks before taking on classroom duties.
We've changed the start date to August 24th for all LKSD schools. So those 2 weeks, the week of August 10th and August 17th, the district is providing professional development to all of our staff, knowing that for some folks, they will still be in quarantine depending on the date they arrive in the Delta.
The Lower Kuskokwim School District is working with the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation to develop different scenarios for providing education safely that depend on the level of coronavirus infection in the region. At the low end, school would operate pretty much the way it always has. But with a high level of infection, the district would shut down classrooms and classes would all occur online. YKHC has recommended that schools open at the mid-level of threat, which means limiting the size of classes and combining them with remote learning on the internet.
And that is because of our need to bus students and to sanitize the buses. At medium risk, we're limiting the class size in order to space student desks out. So social distancing strategies in classrooms and for movement throughout the school building.
Hankins says in the villages where kids can walk to school, the schedule would require a half-day classroom teaching schedule with the rest done at home. Parents also have the option to teach their students at home with a curriculum provided by the district. If the pandemic's threat level changes, the school district will respond by making further changes in its operations. Under the present scenario, the district plans to offer a sports program and extracurricular activities. LKSD Superintendent Kimberly Hankins will return to the talk show Coffee at KYUK on Thursday to talk about the district's plans to provide those programs safely. In fishing news, the Kuskokwim Bay commercial fishery has been operating for nearly a month. It moved to 12-hour openings every other day beginning last week. Seattle-based company E&E Foods is buying and processing the salmon. Chief Operating Officer Ken Ng says the processing ship anchored in Good News Bay can handle 70,000 pounds of fish per day. And it's often been buying more than that during the recent openings.
Daily purchases tend to be higher than their daily capacity, but that's fine because they have 2 days to process the fish.
Ng says about 70% of that poundage is sockeye salmon. The rest is divided between chum and kings, with coho expected to arrive by the beginning of August. The number of fishermen participating in the fishery has grown. About 25 fished the first openings. Now that number has risen to 70 fishermen. The majority are in Quinnahock, with the rest in Good News Bay. Ng wouldn't say how much the fishermen are paid per pound of salmon, but he called the price competitive and says fishermen can get extra cash on top of that.
We do have an incentive program out there that the more pounds they deliver, they get bonuses on top of that. So it's a win-win for everybody.
The salmon will mostly be sold frozen in grocery stores. The pandemic has reduced the demand from restaurants. The commercial fishery is certified as fair trade, which means it meets a high standard of sustainability, environmental impact, and labor practices. Most of the salmon will be marketed under that fair trade label, which customers pay more for and which sends more money back to the fishing crews. E&E has been operating a no-contact fishery throughout the pandemic. The fishing crews don't board the tender or the processor, and the crews on the vessels don't enter the communities. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your comments and news tips to news@kyuk.org, and stay tuned for News Yukdoon coming up.